This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Last week, KC Family Programs released the latest in a series of reports and investigations examining Vermont's Department for Children and Families. This follows the death earlier this year of two toddlers who were under state supervision. Perhaps no DCF district offices come under more scrutiny than Rutland's, where one of the toddlers, 2-year-old Desiree Sheldon, had received services. As VPR's Nina Keck reports, many in Rutland who deal with abused children say their number one wish for the coming year is better communication and a more proactive approach to protecting kids.
At Rutland County's Parent Child Center, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds are busy playing before lunch. Caprice Hover, the center's executive director, says her staff works hand in hand with DCF. If a local family is being investigated for possible abuse and children under the age of 3 are involved, Hover says the center goes into action.
So that family automatically receives a referral to our early intervention program so that our staff can go in and do assessments and determine what needs there might be for the family, whether they're emotional, and then we partner with Rutland Mental Health, or if there's developmental delays for the child, we will do the assessments for speech, physical therapy, and occupational therapy.
Hover says they'll often see these families more often than state caseworkers. Yet she says communication with DCF is frustratingly one-sided and slow.
When a family signs an information release, whether it comes from Family Services or my agency or Rutland Mental Health, it should be valued across agencies so that if I have information at my child care facility that we believe abuse or something is going on, that we should be able to communicate back and forth, not just with central office, but with the workers in our own community. And that has been a struggle.
She understands confidentiality restrictions, but says they seem inconsistent. For instance, her staff has no trouble getting financial information about a family.
We're actually able to access the state information portal. So we get the information directly as that worker types it in. If we go in and look and we need to change something, we can tell that something happened. That system does not exist for Family Services. We are not allowed to access that information.
The recent report by the Citizens Advisory Board cited lapses in communication as a key factor in 2-year-old Desiree Sheldon's death. And members of a legislative committee looking into the situation have said the state's confidentiality laws may need to be changed. Lynn Klom, DCF's interim district director in Rutland, says she's worked hard in recent months to improve communication, both within the agency and with partnering organizations. But she says determining what to share can be tricky.
So some people may feel more comfortable if their financial information is shared than if their mental health information or their substance abuse treatment information. There's certain federal rules and regulations that prevent the sharing of some of the substance abuse stuff. So, you know, I think it's something that has to be looked at.
Klom says she's encouraged by efforts in Rutland to draft a universal release form so that all participating organizations in the community can share information.
I think that that's certainly a statewide dilemma, and if we can pull it off here, it may be a model for other places to use.
But it's not just interagency communications that family service advocates want to see changed. Dan Boyce heads the Vermont Foster and Adoptive Families Association. He says judges making decisions about at-risk children should be able to hear from grandparents, foster parents, school counselors, and other non-parental caregivers. Boyce says the issue was a sore point during legislative hearings on DCF this summer, and he hopes lawmakers will address it.
Grandparent after grandparent after grandparent would talk about how they didn't have any standing in the process.
Outgoing Rutland Police Chief James Baker points to a program he launched within the police department that has members of various community organizations like the local Women's Shelter and Rutland Mental Health working side by side with his officers. Baker says police calls concerning domestic violence are down by a third, and he's frustrated that DCF hasn't joined the effort.
I don't think we've done enough to embed their specialty, which is the social work end of the business, into the everyday work of the folks that are dealing on the front end of this mess.
DCF's Lynn Klom likes the concept, but says staffing shortages have gotten in the way. She says two new specialists in domestic violence and substance abuse will help tremendously. And she's pleased the state temporarily assigned two additional caseworkers to Rutland in October. But Klom believes the office needs two more caseworkers. Caprice Hover of the Parent-Child Center says the additional staff is good news. But the question remains, who will head the office when Klom leaves at the end of the month?
You want to hear understaffing? We're taking the Bennington County District Director and sharing her with Rutland. Rutland's got one of the highest caseloads, and you're going to share a district director. I know that's what they have to do in the interim, but yes, I am concerned about how does one person handle two large counties.
A special legislative oversight committee is expected to address caseload and confidentiality issues in a bill lawmakers will consider in January. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck in Rutland.